we'll get started here. I mentioned last night that these, for the Mat Retreat topics, we kind of have these big buckets that we, kind of categories that we use when we talk, when we think about different topics. And so these cover, obviously, cross-cultural ministry, Great Commission, relationship with GFA and your supporting churches. These are some of the different buckets. Again, the missionary is personal life. One of those buckets is the missionary and his family, or the missionary family. And this session would fall under that category. And so I titled this, Helping Men Think in Pink and Blue. And I put anonymous as the author. That way nobody knows who actually gave this. So I was kind of a little bit of lightheartedness, really, in preparing this. So really, this is to help us have a better marriage. And I'm assuming you have a good marriage. I have a good marriage. I have a very good marriage. Because I have a good wife, to be honest. I've ever heard of that book, Marriage to a Difficult Man? Sometimes I feel like my wife should have written that book. But I have a good marriage. But I think you would agree with me that I could have a better marriage. And we should all try to be on that pathway, really, toward wanting even a better marriage. So let's pray and we'll get started here. Lord, we do thank you for so many of us here, your provision of a wife, a gift, a blessing. And we thank you for that. And we pray that this would be a practical but spot-on biblical session that would really encourage us to treat with better understanding the gift that you've given us. We pray that you would just guide our time together. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So again, kind of lighthearted a little bit, some of this. A few caveats here as I get started. First was I checked the title by my wife, by Pink. And my title didn't pass. She said, Pink doesn't want you to think in pink. And she heard my title. They want you to understand pink, but keep thinking in blue. So even the title of my session is not how Pink thinks, is the way I put it. Second, if I had an opening text for my session, it would be, we've been in 1 Corinthians 7, so here's the verse for us. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nonetheless, such will have trouble in the flesh. So if I had a text, it would be, such will have trouble in the flesh, if you, the Lord grants you marriage. Again, I'm kind of being lighthearted here. I do want to mention, third, I have occasionally, you'll see the name Eggeriches, Emerson and Sarah Eggeriches. They have a book called Love and Respect, also a video series. And like anything, it's not necessarily perfect. He would be more broadly in the evangelical camp. But my wife and I really enjoyed his sessions. And really, he's probably, I mean, we all think of, we understand pink and blue, but in some ways, he's the one that really emphasizes the idea of men think in blue and women think in pink. And he uses that to describe the differences. So why this session? Why this session, even in a Mat Retreat? One is because God created us male and female. This is God. God created humankind, Adam in Hebrew. God created mankind. He created mankind, or humankind, male and female. This is God's creation. We are ontologically equal. We are equally human, equally humankind, equally in the image of God. equally heirs together of the grace of life, but different. Not just physically, but even mentally. Not in terms of, I'm not talking about IQ, but in the way we process things, in the way we view things, in our perception of things. We are just different. And this is a God-given difference. Women, as we'll put it, Egeritus puts it, women think in pink and men think in blue. And there's a difference. And you see some of the differences even in things that we say. Maybe the same words have two different meanings. Egeritus gives the example. The difference in, I have nothing to wear. And a man and a woman can say that and have totally different meanings. A woman opens the closet, two-thirds of which belongs to her, and one-third is yours, and she says, I have nothing to wear. And what she means is, I have nothing new. I have nothing that looks good on me today. A man throws open his little third and says, I have nothing to wear. And what he means is, what I wanted to wear is in the laundry. And that's what he means. Same words, same exact words. Totally different meaning. He gives the example of a man and a woman driving home from some kind of a marriage seminar. And the woman says, the wife says, so how do you feel about our marriage relationship? And the man says, you are extremely critical. And the woman, the hackles go up. She's about ready to, she said, no, I just heard about marriage and differences between genders. She says, well, so what do you mean by that? He says, I've just been thinking about our relationship, and you are critical to my life. You are critical to my success. Totally different. Totally different meaning. This is where we are. That can be even as different as, the questions. Will you be home for dinner? What time will you be home for dinner? Why do you want to know? Why do you ask me that every day? Totally different reasons behind these things. Another reason for a session like this is because these pink and blue differences lie at the root of some or maybe even many of our marital difficulties. I'm assuming that we do on occasion have marital conflicts. Maybe not very many, maybe not very big, but there are differences. You will have trouble in the flesh. There really are differences. There's a comedian, I wouldn't entirely espouse him, but he has this thing on men's brains and women's brains. Maybe you've heard this or seen this. He talks about men's brain. He says, men's brain has boxes, and you've got a box for everything. And so you've got a box for the car, and a box for the house, and a box for you, and a box for your mother-in-law, for his mother-in-law. You've got a box. And he says, a man's boxes, they don't touch each other. So a man goes to that box. You're talking about the car. He pulls out that box, and you talk about the car. And that's all you talk about is the car. And then you put that box back in, and you pull out the next box, and you talk about that. And then he goes over and says, now, women's brains are like spaghetti. Everything is connected to everything. And everything is related to everything. And everything comes up about every topic. And it's a difference. A woman's brain can overload like a desktop with too many applications open. Their brains are busy buzzing about everything. Unfortunately, men also have a nothing box. And that bothers women terribly. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you thinking about? Nothing. How can you have a nothing box when my brain is just buzzing about everything? Just saying there's a difference. And this can lead to some marital challenges. Not understanding each other, communicating without communicating, Again, your words are just crossing each other because you're speaking two different languages, pink and blue. Or I would say this, viewing the other as unspiritual, and I'm going to come back to this a little bit, but viewing the other as unspiritual because you don't think the same way about things. Because different things frustrate her than frustrate you, or unsettle her that unsettle you, or discourage or bother you. And you just assume, well, that's because she's unspiritual. Or she's less spiritual than I am. If she were as spiritual as I were, then she would not feel that way about that. Not all, imagine here as well, because even missionary couples have marital conflict. Being a missionary doesn't exempt you from the need for marriage help from time to time. Some of these are due to gender-related communication misfires. Now, not all of God's servants have had great marriages. Some of that, I feel like, was their fault. George Whitefield, powerful preacher. I mean, unbelievable. Used on two continents. Had this philosophy, I'll get married, it's not going to change what I do in ministry one bit. Marriage will not stand in the way of what I do. I don't know how many are true, but there are some horrible anecdotes about John Wesley's marriage. It's not just because you're God's servant doesn't mean you're going to have a wonderful marriage. So how can I respond to pink? Again, this is just the practical, helping men think in pink and blue. Well, biblical admonition. I do want to read a verse from Ephesians 5. We know this passage so well. You're like me. You've preached on this so many times. But there's an emphasis that I caught onto just a few years ago. And it's this idea of, really comes out in verse 28 of chapter 5, Ephesians, of course, love your wives. And then it says this, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. And initially, my takeaway on this was, though I should really treat my wife like I would treat myself. So if I need time to exercise, I give her time for devotion. So really kind of almost like treating your neighbor as yourself kind of a thing. But look at the last part of the verse. It really clarifies what it means. So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Okay, what does that mean? Next clause of verse 28. He who loves his own wife loves himself. But it really is saying is love your wife as being one with yourself. That the two of you are actually one. And so when you love your wife, you're actually loving yourself because you're one. Love your wife as being really one with yourself is the emphasis. And really, this kind of love is transforming. Love transforms. You want a better wife? Love her with sacrificial, giving love. Some of you have seen the movie Fireproof. And in there, the husband is struggling with selfishness, struggling with pornography. He gets saved in the movie. And the Lord begins to deal with him. And his wife is really not sure about these changes. And one of the things that he had wanted was a boat. And he'd been saving money for a boat. And what really melts her heart and brings her back to him is when she has an invalided mother through a stroke or something, I don't know. But anyway, an invalid who needed her mother needed a hospital bed. There was no money for that hospital bed. But this husband, without her knowing, takes his boat money and he buys her mother a hospital bed. And that's when her heart breaks and melts. And you want to get your wife's heart. You want to help her grow and be the person she wants to be. It happens by giving sacrificial love. Sacrificial love transforms. Think of how Jesus transforms us. The love of Christ constrains us to live and to live for him who died and rose again for us. That's what love does. Another helpful passage, Colossians 3:19. And again, we're familiar with this, but think of the implication. Husbands, love your wives. And then here's this: do not be embittered against them. And I have to think that the reason the Holy Spirit put it that way for men is that there are reasons that men have for feeling like they should be bitter against their wives. Or maybe she's disappointing us, or she's not meeting our expectations. And it can lead to bitterness. And this can be true even in missionary couples, where you have a man and in his heart there's bitterness in his heart toward his wife. Maybe because things she has done or things she has said, things he wanted, things that aren't happening. Maybe, you know, kind of dreams he had. And the Holy Spirit says to us directly, you love that wife and you do not be bitter against her. Regardless of what she's done, if you and I are bitter against her, we have sinned. It's kind of like the passage, I think it's the last verse in Romans 12, that do not be overcome by evil. And if you and I are overcome, I put it this way, if you and I are overcome by our wife's evil, we have sinned. I'm talking about her, okay? She may have her own issues. I'm just saying, if I am overcome by my wife's evil, I have sinned. Because God says, do not be overcome by evil. That's the Holy Spirit's words to us. And then another verse, 1 Peter 3, is a very helpful passage again. And I think we pass over the words a little too quickly. There's two commands, and there's two as clauses that go with those two commands, and I think we should see it that way in the text. Verse 7, you husbands, 1 Peter 3, you husbands in the same way, here's the first command, live with your wives in an understanding way, so here's the clause that goes with that, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. As I remember, it's been a few days since I checked the Greek here, but I think the idea is as with a weaker feminine vessel, a vessel who is feminine. It's really defining the nature of the weakness of the vessel. She's a feminine vessel. So in light of the fact that she's a weaker feminine vessel, okay, live with her in an understanding way. That's command number one. Number two, show her honor, here's the qualifying clause, as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers be not hindered. So live with your wife in an understanding way, as with a weaker feminine vessel. A weaker vessel, a feminine one. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. When you put it together that way, living with your wife in an understanding way, as with a weaker feminine vessel, it really suggests that understanding your wife is really understanding her limitations with the goal of protecting. Our instincts towards something weaker ought to be to protect it, not to run roughshod over it. A wife is weaker both in that she has different physical challenges than you do. Again, understanding her as a weaker feminine vessel. What does it mean to be feminine? I'm not really sure. But one thing it means is that she can have children. And there's a lot that goes on in a feminine body that doesn't go on in a male body. And a male body typically is kind of like, you know, and then we die, you know. Just got to crash. A woman's body is more like this. And that's because she's a feminine vessel. There's an inherent weakness because she's feminine. And I mean, just practical advice, that's why it's not a bad idea if you're in this stage of life to kind of keep track of where your wife is in terms of a monthly cycle. You can turn a really bad day into a good day for her. When your first instinct is, man, I'm going to go to the gym or to the Y or to somewhere. I'm just going to get out of this house, you know. When you could actually, in self-sacrificing love, give her a hug and say, listen, I don't care how you feel today about yourself or about the world, but I want you to know I love you as much as ever. And you'll watch her change like that because she feels horrible. And she wants to know that somebody loves her. She's weaker also because she's in a position of subordination. We know what it is to be under authority. You ever been under an authority that you really don't like? But that's your God-given authority. And you're in a very, people under authority are very vulnerable. And your wife, biblically, is under your authority. And that is a vulnerable position. That's part of being a weaker vessel. She's a feminine one. She's been put by God in a position of subordination. And again, something of value, you don't run roughshod over it. And if you know your wife's limitations, you know her femininity, the position she has in your home, you ought to try to know her limitations so that you can then provide protection. Something that is valuable, you put it on a high shelf so it doesn't get broken. And then you honor her as an heir together of the grace of life. She is an equal partner in your marriage. Put a quote on here by Aristotle. He's not inspired, by the way. That is interesting. How old is this? For providence made man stronger and woman weaker, so that he, in virtue of his manly prowess, may be more ready to defend the home, and she, by reason of her timid nature, more ready to keep watch over it. I'm going to come back to that. Fascinating observation. So some practical advice here. Allow, this is kind of like, you know, things, you know, helping men think in pink and blue, right? Allow her to double check things without expressing frustration. A pink needs to double check things that blue feels are obvious. And she might ask you three times, now what time are you coming home for dinner tonight? Like, I already told you, like, you know 5:30, I told you. There's just this nature that pink needs to double check. Let her double check without feeling like she's intellectually inferior or unspiritual or something wrong with her. What's wrong with her is that she's pink and you're blue. Let it stand. Assume your wife wants to please you and has, this is Egerich's term, goodwill towards you, even if her follow-through may not always be exactly what you wanted. I mean, you married your wife because you thought it was a good decision. You assumed she had goodwill towards you. You married a good woman. I think we could all say that. You married a good woman. She has goodwill towards you. It doesn't mean her follow-through is always going to be exactly what you as blue think it should be. But when she fails in that way, if that's a failure, but it, when she fails in that way, don't go after her goodwill towards you. Maybe other factors behind it. Realize that she is probably trying to connect with you, not control you. Women like to connect. That's why you'll see, you know, ladies around these, you know, little round tables, and they got their elbows up and they're all talking with each other. You know, you don't see a bunch of, you know, guys like, hey, how you doing? You know, everything going okay for you? How's work today? Everything going okay at home? You know, you're like, okay, I'm getting out of there, you know. This is way too much for me, you know. But, you know, the nice little round tables and the flowers on the table, a little cafe, that's, you know, there's this connection. Women are trying to connect. She's probably not trying to control you. She's trying to connect. Understand that that's peak. What you think is spider webbing is not. That's funny because I was telling my wife about this session. And she said, I was trying to say, this is what I'm, she's like, so who was speaking in the other session, in the ladies? I'm like, is that related to my question? You know, she's like, well, yeah, I mean, in other words, the topic they're having, that would relate to yours. And I thought, you know, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You know, in my mind, it's a spider web. You know, she's going out here on this, you know. And I'm like, no, listen, this is the box I pulled out. We're talking about this box, you know, right here, you know, and she's off here. But in her mind, and rightly so, it's all connected. Her perspective is as valid as mine. She's an equal heir of the grace of life. And she's, okay, so, you know, what is that speaker going to speak on? Okay, so that, you know, that ties in. Decode pink. Don't interpret it as blue language. Again, I have nothing to wear. You hear preaching on Exodus 16, 17, the wilderness of sin, you know. The wilderness of sin, that's just the Hebrew name of that. That's not the wilderness where they sinned. You know, although they probably did. But I mean, you know, you have to decode, you have to translate that. Not just take it at face value. And sometimes you have to decode. What does she mean by what she says? She may not mean what you think she means. Letter F, do not berate her, even mentally. Okay, even the way you think about her. I love this. You know, Sarah thought of Abram as Lord in her heart. How do we think about our wife in our heart? Do we berate her even in our minds? Do not berate her even mentally or view her as unspiritual for things that do not bother you just because they bother her. She is not less spiritual because she has concerns that you don't have. Jim Wigginton told John Crocker years ago, don't skimp on the housing. Advice to a new missionary going to the field. Don't skimp on the housing. Why did he say that? You know, a man can live almost anywhere. Doesn't really care. You know, I got my wife. I'm good. Don't care where I live. You know, a wife doesn't feel that way. Her mind is buzzing. My kids. Everything. That doesn't make her less spiritual. Just because your spouse is different doesn't mean she's wrong. There are things that bother you that don't bother her. You would not want her to think you unspiritual because of that, right? Think of this sometimes. Making sure the lights are turned off or the doors are locked at night. You know, your wife. Did you lock the front door? Tired husband. Not sure. It'll probably be okay. Anybody ever said that? It'll probably be all right. It's going to be all right. You know. All right, you know, I'm good with that. I roll over and I go to sleep. It's probably, you know, there's a 99% chance it's going to be okay. It's been okay for every night, except for one night when we got robbed. Anyway, yeah, it's been okay, you know, the entire time. Okay, I roll over, I go to sleep. My wife's, the application in her brain is still open. Door might be unlocked. Door might be unlocked. Door might be unlocked. Do you know what a tired spiritual husband does? He gets up and he goes and checks the front door and he comes back and he says, front door's locked. And your wife rolls over and she goes to sleep. You just closed an application in her brain. You just helped Pink. Just because you say it's all right, she's not necessarily convinced. She's thinking, but what if it's not? Number, letter G, recognize your wife will typically have more fears when you have children. Jane Austen, in her book, Emma, I'm not sure exactly where, but I think it's the father saying to somebody, saying, you have to have children to know fear. And it really is true. Like, you married your wife, man, spirit of adventure, goes anywhere, does anything, and then you have kids. And you're like, what happened to my wife? Like, where's that spirit of adventure? What happened? And the answer is the four-letter word, K-I-D-S, kids. And when you have children, there's a mama bear that's part of being Pink. And it's not all bad. For men, it's safety third, right? I mean, number one is fun, number two is adventure, number three is safety. Safety third! Okay, Pink doesn't think that way. It's safety first. And we joke in our family, God gave kids a dad so they have fun and a mother so that they stay alive. It's really true. Understand her priority for safety. That is a God-given instinct. That's not bad. And here I go, quoting another ancient Greek. But found it fascinating. God made the man's body and mind more capable of enduring cold and heat and journeys and campaigns, and there imposed on him the outdoor tasks. To the woman, since he has made her body less capable of such endurance, I take it that God has assigned the indoor tasks. And since he imposed on the woman the protection of the stores also, knowing that for protection, a fearful disposition is no disadvantage, God meted out a larger share of fear to the woman than to the man. And knowing that he who deals with the outdoor tasks will have to be their defender against any wrongdoer, so on. Isn't that fascinating? Here's a pagan philosopher who admits that for a woman, she's there to protect, and so she's been given by God a fearful disposition, and that is no disadvantage. And I say in the next letter H there, you don't have to accede to all your fears, but you need to listen to them. There are times when you have to make an executive decision, but you don't run roughshod over Pink. She's too valuable. And her perceptive, her perception is valid. All right, we went on a trip to Singapore one time, and she was just a lot of things that she would tell us. So this is, she was really just, it's like, I don't see how this can come up. And we talked about it, and I really think we should do this. And she'll give testimony. She'll say, that was one of the best family trips we had. Now, there are times when you've got to move forward. But you don't do it without listening to her fears. And I find it really interesting, and I never noticed this until my wife started speaking on this to ladies, but 1 Peter 3, verse 6, talking about, first part is about Sarah, obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you think about the situations Abraham put his wife in. And then it says this, you have become her children if you do good, not fearing any intimidation. And some translations say not fearing any fear. Although it's a different word. In other words, even the Holy Spirit is admitting that there's a fear that is inherent to being Pink. And your wife will very naturally have more fears than you do. And again, that doesn't make her less spiritual. You sometimes need that fear to help you be prudent and wise. And you work together. Letter I, use the language of I felt rather than you said when conveying hurt. This is really egregious. But as you talk together, express your feelings. This is how I felt. I felt disrespected when you said this. Not, you were disrespected. This is how I felt. I felt this. This is how I felt. And he used the feeling, language of feeling. That's for a guy that's kind of vulnerable. We don't like admitting that we actually have feelings. That something hurt us. Because I'm just way above that. I mean, nothing hurts me. But the truth is, things do hurt us. And being willing to express my feeling. This is how I felt. I'm sure you didn't mean this when you said this. But this is how I felt. I would say this too. Have fun with these pink and blue disagreements. It actually is a lot of fun. When you've built up that trust and you have that love and that sense of, again, the 1 Peter 3:7, living together, understanding, and heirs of the grace of life, it really is a lot of fun. And we will sometimes just bring up even the pink and the blue thing. And, you know, boy, that was really pink. That was really blue. I mean, we just have fun with it. And, you know, God is the one who designed this complementary perspective. He made them male and female. It's great. It actually is wonderful. Really enjoy it. Kay here, ask her where she wants to change rather than assume areas where she wants your help to change. She better understands in you what in her thinking exalts herself against the knowledge of God. Let her identify those. Sometimes we can actually kind of decide for her what needs to change. Let her talk, ask her, what are some things the Lord's been working in your life about? What are some things you would like to change? What are some things you'd like to see the Lord change in me? How would you rate our marriage? This is always challenging. Between 1 to 10, how would you rate our marriage? Typically, she'll rate it lower than you do. She asked me, oh, probably 8 or 9. How about you? Oh, you know, 5 or 6. What? I'm the model husband. What do you mean? I'm kidding. My wife is actually very generous in her assessment of me. It's really embarrassing. Realize that pink and blue react differently, and I'm quoting here, to heated fellowship. This is his term for disagreements, heated fellowship. There's a difference here, and it's part of this idea of, again, connecting. When a guy gets frustrated or worked up in his spirit, most of us, we want to walk away. We need space. I'm frustrated, you know, conflict a little bit. Okay, I need space. I just give me a few minutes. Just let me take, you know, 10 breaths. Let me just get out, walk around. I'm going to be okay. But the wife is kind of following you around. You know, what about this? You know, what about this? You know, she's trying to connect. And in heated fellowship, what a wonderful term. In times of heated fellowship, she's going after you because not because she's trying to get you, but because that connection is so important. And many times if we'll just turn around and say, you know, to be honest, I am so sorry for the way I responded. I was just wrong. I'm sorry. I was just frustrated and got this other issue and I kind of brought that in. And you know, I am so sorry, and I am so wrong, and I really am not trying to hurt you. She'll melt right on the spot. Oh, I'm really sorry, too. Actually, it's all my fault. It's all my fault. I'm the one, you know. I mean, she'll just instantly just take all the blame. She's just wanting that connection. She's not trying to get you, but she's wanting to connect. And it may even help, you know, possibly just to, you know, explain, say, listen, you know, just so you understand, you know, when a guy gets, I mean, this is how guys are. You know, if you've got two guys and they're at it with each other, they're just like, psh, he just walks up. He just needs space. And it's like the other guy understands. He's like, okay, I'm not going to chase him. I might get a punch in the nose. You know, I'm going to let him go. He needs space. We understand that. We're guys. Like, yeah, when he's ready, he's going to come back. You know, it'll be all right. You know, 5 minutes later, you guys are best buds. You know, this is how my twin boys are, you know, 12. You know, it's just, you know, guys just work it out that way. And she kind of explained that to a lady, to Pink. You know, listen, that's how guys kind of, you know, so please understand, if I ever kind of look like I need space, just please, it's not you, it's really just kind of how I process things, and God is working on me, and I really admit that. Just kind of helps understand a little bit. And help your wife understand how respectful talk and behavior helps you. You know, we live in a culture, we live in a love culture where really honestly everything is from the Pink perspective. That you have to love how females say you should love. Everything's Pink. And as males, we are judged and assessed by our Pink culture whether what we did was loving. And if it doesn't match Pink, it is abusive, or it's chauvinistic, or it's, you know, whatever. I fill it in, and they go after us. And it is helpful for our wives to understand that just the way loving words really fill their tank, their need tank, so to speak, that respectful language is really what fills a guy's tank. Guys will do anything for respect. We live to be respected. We want to be known for something. We want to accomplish something. We want to be respected for something. And we'll do anything for respect. This is why guys will get into affairs with ladies at the office. And it's not always about that they're more attractive or whatever. It's that they talk to you with respect in the office. And those respectful, flattering words, they're like triggers for a guy. He likes to be respected. And it might be helpful for your wife just to understand that. Here's how Blue, you know, respect is a big deal. It meets a need I have. And really, just like when our wife is unloving or unlovable, maybe I should say, seems unlovable, we are still commanded to love. And she's in a position where even when our actions are not always respectful, she is to be respectful. It's the way God set it up. So these are just some practical suggestions. And again, I assume that you, like me, have a really good marriage. But I assume that you, like me, can have a better marriage. And sometimes the little things that maybe bother us, sometimes these things are just, again, Pink and Blue. And it's recognizing that these are God-given differences that are really beautiful and really necessary. I need my wife. I need my wife's perspective. And I would say that if I were to start thinking about regrets or, you know, looking over the years, I would say that one of them would be times when I did not listen more carefully to my wife's advice. There were times when, now looking back, I'd say, you know, I think my wife was right. I didn't really give proper weight to what she was saying. And if you've got a godly wife, and I'm sure you do, or I'm sure you will have at some point, that is a treasure. She is a gift. And she is of high value. And she is worth giving honor to and worth protecting. Anybody have a thought or a comment? Anything that you've noticed that your wife says, and you say the same words, but you have different meanings, totally? Kind of like, I have nothing to wear. Anybody have any classics like that in your...
An illustration based on what you said. My wife's phone always has like 10 to 12 apps left open at all times. And if I get on her phone for whatever reason, I shut them all and leave just the one that I need open. Because on my phone, there's only one open at any given time. It's not that funny. You want to get them on your
screen. That is. That's funny. There's a difference. There really is. Well, let's pray. Father, we do. We bless you for the wife you have given. And pray that you would help us in fulfilling what you have commanded us to do, in loving her as ourself, and in not being bitter, and in living with her in an understanding way as a weaker feminine vessel, and showing honor as an equal heir of the grace of life. And we again are grateful for what you've done, the gift you've given, and pray that even in our fields and our ministries, that our marriages would be a reflection of Christ and the church. We pray these things in Jesus' name.